this morning is Psalm 13, and you can find this on page 548 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 13, page 548. For the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning we're going to look at what it means to lament. Using Psalm 13 as an example, I'd like us to think about how lamenting can help us in dealing with loss. And as we've heard from Mike already, in whatever form that might take, not just in terms of bereavement, but the loss of anything important to us. And maybe if you don't think this applies to you right now, well, I hope this talk will prove useful at some time in the future. And if not for yourself, perhaps as we help one another walk along life's rocky road. Now, using some ideas from a book called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, by a gentleman with a very unpronounceable name, Mark Brogop, and another on lament by Paul Mallard, I'd like to offer a template, a guide, if you like, which I hope you'll find useful. Now, I hesitate when I give you this mnemonic because it doesn't quite work. But it's so quirky, you might actually remember it. It's tut-tat. Well, tut-tat stands for turn, tell, ask, and trust. I'll explain in a bit, but first, my Oxford Dictionary describes the verb to lament as a passionate expression of grief. Well, that may be true. I think there's a lot more to this word, or preferably to this practice. But can I just say, in Royal Tunbridge Wells, as Christians, I don't think we're very good at passionate expressions of grief. It seems to me keeping a stiff upper lip is usually the order of the day. And as individuals and as a congregation, I think we have a tendency to try and avoid crying up to God in our struggles. Much better to focus on the more joyful aspects of being a follower of Jesus. And you know, there's a follow-on from this thought. When Gordon Boardman asks you or greets you with his usual, and how are you today, my young brother or my young sister, I bet almost everyone responds with the words, I'm fine, or great, thanks. But well, that can't be true, surely. Admitting a difficulty is like letting the side down. Aren't we supposed to be joyful souls, delighting in the knowledge of our salvation? Or maybe you don't want to burden others with your problems, preferring to keep them to yourself instead. Well, I'd like to suggest we need to be more honest with ourselves, with one another, and with God. Now, lamenting can help us address this. The writer of Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy describes this practice of lamenting as a process, a pathway or journey. Furthermore, it's a journey which can take years to travel. When our daughter Lydia died 4 years ago, I took huge comfort from learning the first 12 verses of Psalm 139. Perhaps you know the words. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Or my favourite, the bit where it says in verse 9, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. You might have your own favourites from this psalm. It's full of truths which confirm that God is with us. And furthermore, even in our times of trouble. Thing is, even with close family and church friends around you, it's possible to feel alone in one's grief. But these words provided an incredible source of comfort. However, over the course of the following years leading up to recent times, the words somehow diminished in the way they were able to soothe my sorrow. Over time, I experienced a creeping grumpiness, which turned into flare-ups of angry moments, set off by stupid things like being stuck behind a cyclist on the road, or anyone else getting in my way for that matter. I now understand what it means to be bereaved. To reave is to rob someone of something. And as I look back, to be robbed of one's beautiful 28-year-old daughter, well, it's not surprising that it's possible to become angry with life, and particularly as a Christian, to complain to God about our circumstances. Why us? Was a question which morphed in over time into, how long must I wrestle with the pain of this loss, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? So you see, David's complaint, telling God what he thinks, resonates loud and clear. It's been a great eye-opener to investigate the Psalms of Lament, and today's scripture, Psalm 13, is just an example, one example of some 29 personal laments in the collective book of the Psalms, which vocalise pain, grief, and fear. But these Psalms of Lament don't just express pain and grief, and leave it at that. Well, if they did, we might just as well join Elton John, who sings sad songs, Say So Much. Perhaps you know it. Although it's set to a jaunty tune, it describes how listening to a sad song can help those feeling depressed or who've lost a partner. Well, the solution is just turn on the radio and listen to sad old blues classics. Well, I won't sing it, but it goes, turn on those sad songs when all hope is gone. No, the Psalms of Lament provide much more than an expression of pain and suffering, but a pathway and a structure which can help us deal with that pain and help us refocus on the trustworthiness of God. These Psalms don't provide a quick cure like an Anadin extra does for my headache. Furthermore, it's no TED talk. I'm certainly no finished product or expert in this field. But I'm convinced they do help, and over time and with practice, I believe they can help us refocus from feelings of hardship to hope, and from feelings of complaint to confidence in God. Well, so after that introduction, let's look at Psalm 13, shall we? Just six short verses. Turn to page 548 in the Church Bibles so that you can follow what it says. For the director of music, a psalm of David. It seems likely David is surrounded by his enemy. It's possible he has Saul or Absalom in mind. Both sought his destruction on separate occasions. David is cornered, and it's as if God has forgotten him. It's not surprising he's feeling the way he does. After all, didn't God promise without any conditions that he'd start a dynasty where his offering would establish a kingdom that would endure forever? That seemed impossible given his circumstances at that moment in time. David felt spiritually forgotten, and by comparison with happier times, God seemed distant and remote. His world was caving in, and this leads him to indulge in a severe dose of rumination, worry and sadness. But notice in verse 1, pretty much the first thing he does is address God. Despite his dire circumstances, he turns to God, crying out, "How long, Lord?" He cries, "How long, Lord?" Not, "How long, Mum?" how long Dad, Auntie Dot, or even how long Vicar. David knows who to turn to first. Who do we have a tendency to turn to first? But having turned to God in prayer, he tells God how he's feeling. In telling God how he feels, there's a sense of disappointment and sadness. Dare I say it, bitterness, and as he complains, "Will you forget me forever? Will you hide your face from me? How long will I sorrow and will my enemy triumph? And how long must I wrestle with these thoughts? How long is this deep feeling of sadness going to last, and how long will I feel crushed and boxed in?" Doesn't this psalm express the way we feel sometimes? Everything just seems too much. These words of complaint surely ring true. This is being real with God about our condition. But as we just as we read in Psalm 139, doesn't he know us better than we know ourselves? So why not be honest with God about the way we feel? Mind you, of course, it's possible to get stuck in complaining mode, which can lead to grumbling and more grumbling, then turning away from God down into some kind of rabbit hole, which is difficult to get out of. Perhaps you might recognize that mindset. In verse 3, after telling God how he feels, David asks for help. "Look at me and answer. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall." He's asking, "Please, God, look at me and answer my questions. Help me understand. Show me the way, or I'll just cave in, and this dire situation will have got the better of me." So reaching out, turning to God in prayer, David lays his complaints before God. He tells him what he's feeling and then boldly asks for help. Notice, though, a turning point in this psalm, and you can see it quite clearly at the beginning of verse 5. But despite all that's going on, David declares his trust in God. Expressing trust is an important component of the laments, and this is the major point of difference to just listening to a sad song. I looked up the word trust. Trust is believing what you know to be true, even though circumstances might call that belief into question. I'll repeat it. Trust is believing what you know to be true, even though circumstances might call that belief into question. So David switches from asking to affirming his trust in God's unfailing and steadfast love. Now it seems likely David is taking a historical perspective here on the basis of the good things that God has done for him in the past. That gives him the confidence to pray even in this dark place. I can't help but ask, what has God done for you that you too might have confidence to pray even in dark times? I think it's fair to say that our days of trusting can be variable. Sometimes at 100%, other times it might only be possible to rehearse the promises of Scripture. But this is where the Psalms of Lament, such as this one, can really help us. It gives us the words to speak even when we feel unable. Well, I've been learning and trying to recite the verses of 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, not without difficulty, get to a certain age and all that, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. And this is where I take issue with Elton John. Let's not turn on and listen to someone singing a sad song, especially when you might believe all hope has gone. But let's sing a song about the hope which only the gospel can provide. A hope which envelops our grief, smothers it with the hope of salvation through Jesus. This is something we can rejoice in, even as we grieve. And Elton, I believe there is a different song. Someone asked the other day, why do you love Jesus? Well, for me, it's because we can turn to him in our difficulties. He listens and understands. And albeit imperfectly, I can trust in his unfailing love. Well, as we finish, we can see that David has moved from a place of sadness and complaint to rejoicing and worship where God is at his centre. This psalm of lament reorientates David's heart and sets him on a path of praising God for his goodness and mercy. This is the essence of lament, and it's the essence of my ridiculous mnemonic, tut-tat. It's turning and reaching out to God in prayer, telling God, laying our complaints before him and asking for help. True lament leads us to trust, recommitting ourselves to believing God and what he's done for us, even as our suffering, trials and sorrows may continue. It helps us endure. It provides a pathway which helps us deal with pain and refocuses us on the promises and trustworthiness of God. Now, as we've heard already this morning, prayers of lament can be used in any circumstance of loss. Yes, loss of a loved one, a loss of a future with that person, but also loss of an expectation. Someone or something hasn't turned out the way you'd hoped, but also loss of health or mobility. You can no longer do the things you used to. Maybe your once cherished independence has gone. How about the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship, the loss of someone's love or friendship, or the loss of relationship with God because of a persistent sin? I wonder, is there a particular loss which affects you? In which case, have a go at learning to lament. Amen. Well, now I want to finish with my own personal prayer of lament. Yes, it's personal to me, but I offer it not to indulge in a public display of self-pity or seeking sympathy, but I hope as an example of using the template I've talked about. It goes, Dear Lord, I call out to you. You know my every thought and word and deed. You know my failures, those times when I let you down and lead me to hide from your presence. You also know my sorrow and sadness. I grieve the loss of my beautiful daughter. I miss her company, her laugh, even those days when she was a pain. I grieve the disruption to our family, the imbalance to our lives. Why is it so hard to find peace? Why do I feel so angry? How long will I have to feel like this? I pray for inner peace, not just for me, but for my wife and son. I pray for an end to this restlessness. But I know you're in control. You have shown us your goodness in the past, and yes, we trust in your steadfast love. I look forward to that day when you will wipe away every tear, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Amen. Well, Mike's going to pray for us.